Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. And oh, yeah. Welcome to African American Empowerment Saturday. It is 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment. Just to be with your main man, Marvin Rohn. And that's right. Coming to you live. We got political action. We got work that needs to be done. We got Brother Hassan, Brother Reg, live call-ins from around the country. We're coming to you live right now. Come on, y'all. Oh, yeah. Y'all know how it goes. There's no better love. There is no greater love than for self and kind. No greater love. There's no greater love. Welcome, brothers and sisters, to African American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. I'm coming to you live from the city of Richmond Convention Center, where we're having a live broadcast here at the Youth Summit. We're going to have a live call-in from Washington, D.C., where there's political action going on there, and we're going to be down in North Carolina as well with a live call-in. So we got a live show, live action. We're working with the youth, working with community, and we're expanding this action around the country because we need to understand some things as we continue to navigate around the world and around this country. So let's get into the NAAEA. There's some tenets that we need to follow, and the first one is politics, and that's what we're talking about today. Political action. There's a need for African Americans to have political engagement, political actions. It really speaks to educating ourselves on the political system and how to navigate it properly, right? We have to educate our youth on political action and having a voice, and that's what we're doing here today. It's Youth Voice Action in Washington, D.C. We've got action going on where we need to engage our politicians, our politicians on our politics that work for us. Now let's get into the other tenets. The next one is E, which is economics. You know we need it. Not only do we need it, we got to learn how to manage those economics. We have to function properly, right? And although a lot of times when you hear the word economics and politics together, people kind of back off, right? But we have to be assertive in saying we need to manage economics, and we need to manage that politically to get the institutions that we need to define our own reality. And next is the A, right? This is the personal one. You have to manage your A. That's your athletics, your health, your wellness, your fitness, your nutrition, your mental health, your physical health, your emotional health. No one can do that for you but you. You're going to have to take care of your body. You're going to have to take care of your temple. You're going to have to take care of your mind. And the work needs to be done by you. You're the only one that can take care of you. You're the only one that can take care of your health, because your health is your wealth. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. You got to take care of your body, and it's your job to do that. You got to take care of your mind, and you got to make sure that you're ready to do the work in and out, day in and day out, right, to prepare our next generation for what's going on in this world so they can compete. Next is culture. Relevant cultural programs that really enrich our young people, right, in the institutions that we define about how that's going to work and how that's going to happen. We're going to have to do that work ourselves. No one else can do that for us. We're going to have to help our young people feel confident about who they are, right? That's the work that we have to do. Chin up, chest out, and being and feeling positive about ourselves, about who we are, what we look like, and what we bring to the table. And lastly is education. It's a comprehensive education. That education is well-rounded, that gives us everything that we need, right, that we can be productive in every state and every city and every nation around the world that we stay in. And we're going to have to do that work, because without that work being done, where will we be? And now, for the Stay in Active moment, I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
That's right. Brother Stan is so right. Who needs institutions to define their own reality outside of us? We do, right? We need infrastructure. We need places that our children and our families can go for correction, for direction, for retraining, right, and for refinement. and we're going to have to do that work, and that work belongs to us. There is no other way to face that, right? And we're going to have to do that work. So Brother Stan is right. He's no longer with us, but he's with us. His voice will continue to move along with us as we go, because we're going to get those institutions that define our own reality. And it's us, you, me, us, we, that have to do that work. And now, for my favorite portion of the show, it's the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with Brother George. Oh, yeah, bring it. Brother George. Oh, yeah. Come on. Hey, white.
Bring it. What?
Brother George. Come on. Right here. I see y'all rocking out there. Uh-huh. We ain't going nowhere. Uh-huh. Brother George, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine, brother, and appreciate you asking. Hope you all of yours are doing fine as well.
All right. Everybody's doing well, and we got a great segment. I know we do. I've been looking forward to it all week, so give me what you got, brother. Give me what you got.
Well, you know, first of all, from time to time, you know, I like to speak about the developer of the cultural holiday called Kwanzaa, which is cultural activist Malana Karanga. And he put it together, you know, during the Black Consciousness Movement of the 60s. And I think it continues to serve us well as a people. And I think that it will grow in popularity in the future, will continue to grow in popularity. As we wake up our African minds, the more that we'll be responsive to things that were put into place by our leadership in this country. And so today, from the Nguza Saba, Ujamaa, collective economics, to build and manage our own stores, shops, and our businesses, and to profit from them together. Ujamaa sharing. What goes around comes around. This expression is a common one in the African-American community, but it is most positive sense, it refers directly to the concept of Ujamaa. What we share of our resources, whether time, talent, money, or energy, returns to us as additional resources through which we can creatively improve our situation and progress towards our individual and collective goals. Now, with the Willie Lynch segment, which, like I always said in the past, you know, the Willie Lynch segment is to reverse the effect of Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch segment was to get us to dislike each other because of the different shades of our skin complexion, to have the male and the female at each other, and to keep us from wanting to educate ourselves by not reading. And all of those things are part of the Willie Lynch segment. So I tried to pick a book that will interest our people to read and to reverse that burden that's been placed on us from the past. Today, I'm going to continue to follow suit from the previous 5 weeks with The Ten Commandments of Black Economic Power by Dr. Boyce Watkins. Commandment number 6, keep it all in the family wherever possible. He's talking about the black family, even though he's going to go into some other, you know, examples. That's what he's talking about. A few years ago, my wife and I took an 11-day trip to China. We paid a lot of money for the trip, which consists of tour guides and lots of fancy hotels. We traveled to a large number of cities. I noticed that in every city we visited, we would make stops at places that I wouldn't normally expect to be on a tour schedule. For example, the guide seemed to strongly believe that we would be deeply interested in going to the factory that makes fake images of the famous terracotta warriors. Not the real warriors, the fake ones. So before we have a chance to see the real terracotta warriors, created thousands of years ago, we were forced to stop by a factory that made the fake ones. It didn't take long for me to realize that I was being put into yet another sales machine similar to the others that we've been exposed to during every single leg of our trip. Literally, every city we went to, our tour guides, without asking us, would take us to places where their friends and business partners were selling products. When we walked into the door, they were always waiting for us and would give us a hard sell every second we were inside the building. In fact, I got to the point where I had to sneak peeks at items I found interesting because the sales clerks were literally following my eyes the entire time I was there. If they caught me looking at something, even out of curiosity, I would immediately be met with, would you like to try this on? How many would you like? We can ship this to you. Let's be honest. This really pissed me off. Eventually, I protested, telling them that I didn't pay for all of this money for the tour to be taken on a gigantic shopping spree. Then they sprung something on me that hit me like a ton of bricks. In the contract we signed, there was a clause stating that we must join them on every stop of the tour or we would be removed from the tour altogether. So I have to say that this form of economic gangsterism was highly offensive and made me uncomfortable. But while I was annoyed as hell and would never sign a deal like that again, I actually admired the intentionality of the people who worked so hard to ensure that they were able to share economic value with their friends, family, and associates. Deal with keeping in the family if possible. Here's the deal. The Chinese businessmen who put together this tour had a paranomics plan to ensure that everyone was able to benefit from the presence of rich American tourists. They made business deals and partnerships with others in their community to ensure that there was a wealth transfer that worked in their favor. I admit that I felt they pushed me a little too hard to get what they wanted. In fact, I don't plan to use that tour company ever again, so I cannot say I recommend doing exactly what they did. On the other hand, I can say that they were able to get a ton of money out of me and my wife, and that I commend their efforts. In other words, he was saying, keep it in the family. You know, they set things up. And if you don't read the fine print, you'll find yourself in situations like that. But nonetheless, those are the kind of situations that we need to be setting up as a group of people, that we push our products like that and put people in the situations where if they go on some type of tour to the community or whatever, that we make sure we stop off at the black-owned businesses to get support for those businesses, you know, and even if it's amongst ourselves, you know. So I think that was that chapter, you know, has a great deal more in it. But I think that was a good business lesson, you know, about being in business and being in other countries and different things like that. But Brother Marvin, you know, if you don't have no questions for me, then it's back to you, brother.
Excellent, 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 Brother George. Excellent point. And that is an example of an economic agenda, right? Those people are going to work to put money in their pockets, and they're working collectively together. So here's the question of the week for you, Brother George. Ujima, why is it necessary for us? Why is Ujima necessary for us?
Well, it's necessary for us because, one, we have over $1 trillion as a collective market in the United States that can be used to build a mini empire here for us. And we need to start learning how to redirect some of that funds, some of those funds back into projects and different investments that we can make as a people into our own selves so that we can improve our condition here for our people overall. So that's my response, Brother Marvin.
Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, sir. You are so right. We got to have a collective economic agenda, right? Brother George is bringing it to you. The Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment is a segment that is designed to make us think, but it's also encouraging us to read, right, and educate ourselves. We're going to be the ones that have to do that work. And it is necessary for us to have a collective, unified concept for collective work and responsibility wherever we are. And we're going to have to take ownership for that by doing the work or working on ourselves wherever we are. The next thing is this. You're going to have to figure out how to have a political and economic agenda wherever you are. And you're going to have to be able to work together to identify those areas that we want to target and then get busy on executing our plans. That's all to it. And that's the only way that we can see that. We're going to have to define our economic agendas and our political agendas that our people can fall in line and that we can teach, train, and develop our people to be effective litigators for what we need. We're going to address our needs politically, and we're going to have the economic backing. We're going to have some paper following us, y'all. We just can't be doing all this talking without having no money in America. It don't work like that. Poor is poor and broke is broke. And if you poor and broke, you need to start thinking about how to – listen, we live in the richest country in the world. There's no reason why we can't use the wealth that we have collectively to be a powerful nation inside of this nation until we can translate and transition to somewhere else. It is our obligation now that we are aware to do that work, to use our power collectively in the most positive way. It's Empowerment Saturday, African American Empowerment, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. We got a great show today. African-American Community Empowerment. We got Brother Hassan coming up a live report, right, on political action. We got Brother Rage coming live from North Carolina. And we're here at the Teen Summit here in Richmond, Virginia, at the Convention Center, where we're educating, teaching, training, and developing young people, giving them confidence and things that they need to move forward in their lives. It's the work that needs to be done in every community, but it also needs to be summits like this in every African-American community around the country. It's the only way, brothers and sisters, the only way. And now, without further delay, let me get all the business out the way. We got Slido today, right? Join me for Slido. The number is 126-9399. That's slido.com. Go ahead, slide on over there, slido.com. Put your comments in as we go through the show. Also, if you want to call in on the call-in line, 845-277-9250 is the number to call if you want to get in on live conversation. Again, Slido, 126-9399. 845-277-9399. Okay? 845-277-9250. And y'all know how we're bringing them in. We're going to do live from Washington, D.C. with Brother Hassan. Just a minute. We're going to plug him in right now. Y'all know how we're bringing him in. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Come on. Get up. Do it. Brother Hassan, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Oh, peace and blessings to everyone. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir. Coming in live, coming in.
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh, wonderful, man. Listen, I'm reporting to y'all live from right here from Washington, D.C. I'm up here, and look, the traffic, as you know, in Washington, D.C., the traffic is hectic. But we here, and I'm just out here driving past the Lincoln Memorial out here. People are out here rallying at the Capitol today. I am here supporting a very good friend of mine who is one of the founding members of the Richmond Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality. His name is Phil Waleto. They issue the annual, it's a quarterly newspaper called the Richmond Defender. I'm out here today because he's scheduled to speak at what we have in an anti-war rally here in Washington, D.C. And, one thing I can say about this rally is that it encompasses people from all different types of backgrounds. Everyone from all different places. We have the Richmond there. They have the veterans out here who protesting anti-war. You have a lot of activist organizations out here. It is a multitude of people out here, man. I didn't think it was going to be this many people, but it's so many people. It's so many people walking around out here today. And it's just a remarkable experience for me to be here.
All right, Brother Hassan, let me ask you a quick question. So how did you get involved, and what is the major message that our people need to get in terms of political action on the ground?
Okay, well, for me, with the Richmond Defenders, it's a fairly long story, so I'm going to shorten it up a little bit. Just a little bit of history, too, about the Defenders. The Defenders is an organization that started over 20 years ago, has been working very faithfully within the city of Richmond, dealing with the Shaco Bottom Slave Burial Ground, to have that place monumented and have that place set aside as historic. They've been working on that for over 20-some-odd years, and they have made very great strides in progress as pertains to the African burial ground site in Richmond. But that's just a little history on the work that the Defenders have been doing already. But they started originally with a very good friend of mine by the name of Mr. Jay Plummer. And he was a guy who was actually attacked by police officers at Wallace Ridge State Prison. I was actually there when the attack happened, and this happened back in the year 2000. And since that time, the Defenders came to his aid. Now, the Defenders was just a group of volunteers, a group of volunteer people that are striving to make changes in their community. Nobody is in the Defenders paid. The Defenders is a complete volunteer organization, so they don't take money. They're not a nonprofit. It's a strictly volunteer grassroots organization. And so they came to Mr. Plummer's aid. And ever since then, they've been going by the name of the Defenders because this was the name that Mr. Plummer gave them, right? And so I had heard about the Defenders for many years of being incarcerated. I never had really a true opportunity to get involved with activism out in society, out in the street, even though that was something that I wanted to do. Long story short, due to my activism and working in prison, I got connected with Mr. Phil Waleto through Ascari Donso. And what we did was we came together along with the Coalition for Justice, and we co-founded the Virginia Prison Justice Network. in the year 2017. And ever since then, every year, what we've been doing is having an annual prison justice rally in Monroe Park in Richmond. And the last one was very successful with over 150 people attending in the snow. And so we really have been doing a lot of great work. And this right here is a part of the Defenders platform, which is anti-war. And the anti-war campaign is talking about all wars. And we're not just talking about anti-war as government-established wars, but we're talking about anti-war completely, all the way on the board, in our neighborhoods, you know. And everywhere that we see injustice as it pertains to conflict, the lives of innocent people, whether it's in our communities or whether it's overseas, international or domestic, we should always be aware of war and the atrocities that war creates. Because most assuredly, whatever you see visiting a lot of these countries all around the world, if we don't take the necessary steps to govern ourselves accordingly, we can find ourselves in that type of conflict right here at home, right here in America. So this is why it's very important for us to be involved politically when you're dealing with things like war, things like international policy, foreign policy. We don't realize how they affect us here in the United States, but foreign policy all over the world affects us here because we're talking about trade, international and domestic trade, which always is going to affect the amount of jobs, which is always going to affect certain things like outsourcing. So we have to be very mindful how all these things work together, not just the social reform, and the politics as far as legislation and all those different things, but anti-war policy that's needed in order to make sure that we have our affairs together here, right here in America. It's very important, I think, that people attend things like this. And so me, I'm spreading my wings to come out here and do something that I've never done, which is attend an anti-war rally. And from what I see out here, there's so many people out here. They have to have crossing guards to tell people where they're going and how to get there. Yeah, so this is a great experience for me, bro, Marvin. And I would implore anyone and everyone to come out and do things like this.
All right, brother, son, it's on the ground, and I want to thank you, and I want to say this in a really positive way, brother Hassan. Called us from behind the walls, and now he is out being politically active. And if I can say, he spent many years incarcerated, and now he's out doing the work. And many of us are incarcerated in our own homes, in our own communities, and we need to get out and do the work. The work has got to be done by us. We got to get out and do. So, Brother Hassan, before we move on from you, I got a few Slidos in here that I want to address.
Sure.
One is, how can we get more information about the Richmond Defenders?
Oh, yeah. You can go to the Richmond, Virginia Defender website, the Facebook page. You can go there. You can also go to vapjn.wordpress.com. vapjn.wordpress.com. That is the Virginia Prison Justice Network website, and you'll be able to find all the information on there about the Richmond Defenders and about 22 other organizations that are listed on the website that actually do this prison justice work. So I would implore everyone to go to www.vapjn.wordpress.com, and go on there. You'll be able to find information about the Defenders and numerous other organizations that are doing this hard work out here on a grassroots level.
I like it. Okay, next slide-o. When is the next prison justice rally?
Well, what we're doing is, usually that prison justice rally is in January, but this year we're going to be doing a little something different, and we're going to have some updates on that, because we really want to strive to do something with the upcoming election, being that all the seats are up for grabs. We really, really do need to be proactive politically. And so we want to do something before January. We want to do something in October going into November. And we really want to put the pressure on them to make prison justice a part of their platform that they're running on, all of the candidates. We want to make prison justice and the other things surrounding prison justice, environmental justice and social reform and all those other things that are needed when you start talking about mass incarceration. We really want to affect policy in that way. So we're going to be organizing something coming up in October, and so we want everybody to stay tuned. As soon as we have the details, Brother George, Brother Marvin, I would love to come on the show and kind of express that to everyone and just the importance of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, again, we're talking to Brother Hassan live from Washington, D.C. He's at the anti-war campaign. And the next slide is, can you tell us more about the campaign, the anti-war campaign?
Yeah, well, ultimately, right now, one of the major things that they're talking about is the war in Ukraine, right? And the war that started began in Odessa, and it began with the Odessa campaign. And the defenders have been a very, very big part of that Odessa campaign going back to like 2017. And today, the anti-war rally is not just the anti-war in Odessa, but it's anti-war all across the board. Everywhere where wars are taking the place of, taking the lives of innocent people who are nothing but innocent bystanders as it pertains to foreign policy, as it pertains to the political agenda of the powers that be, what we're saying is that those wars, because we do understand that sometimes war can be, you know, it can be necessary, but we want to do everything that we can to avoid war at all costs because of how many innocent people are affected. And many times the political agendas would have nothing to do with the people who are being affected by it, right? And so, yeah, that's just a little bit about it. And there's a multitude of organizations that are out here today. They have veterans organizations that are out here, a lot of grassroots organizations such as the Defenders, such as the Prison Justice Network, such as Freedom Over Everything. Freedom Over Everything is a grassroots organization that was started by prisoners that's also out here making their presence felt in D.C. today. And so, like, this is something that I'm very happy to be a part of. And also, if anybody wants, if you Google anti-war campaign, today's date will pop up. It's been listed all over. It's March 18th as being the anti-war rally day here in D.C. And so you're going to see a multitude of advertisements and organizations that are here protesting war and all wars for that matter.
Wow. That's great. Got a couple of more, then I'm going to let you go. Again, we're talking to Brother Hassan live from Washington, D.C. He's at the anti-war rally. Here's the next slide. We African Americans desperately need a national political agenda. What do you say about that, Brother Hassan?
I most definitely believe that. I think that ultimately, you know, we've allowed ourselves to be defined politically by tradition and custom, right? When it comes down to a traditional Republican Party or Republican family or a traditional Democratic Party or a Democratic family, right? I think that we have to start to explore the idea of what it means to create our own political force, right? Our own political, political group, so to speak. Sometimes you need
those
who are willing to come together that may not be a part of a particular party, but we could create that party, right? We have the ability to be able to come together and to bring about something that's totally unlike what we have now. And sometimes we believe that that's what's needed. And so, yes, we need to be – and then also we need to be politically organized, right? And I'm talking about on a grassroots level. I'm not just talking about organized Congress, but I'm talking about organized for your city council, first and foremost. Organized for your mayor. Organized for your governor. Organized for the General Assembly and your delegates and senators that represent you. We have to be organized on a grassroots level where it affects us most, right at home. And then we allow that to branch into our larger community, and then we allow that to branch into our state, our nation, and then the world. This is how we should look as far as self-governing is concerned, and how do we begin to become politically active individually and then collectively.
True. True. Last slide, and then I'll let you go. And this is, we need an agenda to fight the war that's going on the ground in our communities. And that's very right in line to what you just mentioned. But that war has to be fought on the ground with our people, right? In a very organized and collective way. What do you say about that before we let you go, brother?
Yes, I believe that our unity is the key. I believe that no matter how much you bring, how much conflict that you think that you want to bring, when you have people unified against it, when you have people unified in a way in which we is, because I believe that more people are, majority of the people are outraged, right, here in our society, in our communities, all around the nation. And the way that we have to start that is we have to start with ourselves, with the idea that I'm going to be a part of the solution, right? Then we have to start to unify with like minds, like unto ourselves, right? Then we have to begin to organize. And when we begin to organize, we have to strategically say, okay, you know what? We want to appear here. We want to be here. We want to show support here. We want to show that we are concerned about our community first and foremost, and then we can start to evolve into things like community watch, right? To evolve into things like community security, right? That where we start to secure our own communities, and we start to mobilize with like minds and people who are galvanized to do that type of work. And I'm going to say this, man. This is really a call out to all of my brothers out there, right? Many of us who have been slack on the job, we need to get up, man. We got to get up and get out. We got to step up. We got to be boots on the ground, man. You know, I'm tired of our sisters out here shouldering this weight because they've been out here. They've been doing it. And so we have to do our part. And that's why I'm saying, man, men, we need to step up. We need to unify. Get with other men like unto yourself, and if we need to find a way where we can all unify on a platform that allows us to communicate with one another across the board, then this is what we need to start doing. And I think that shows like this one right here, Brother George, Brother Marvin, right, are key to that organization, and I think we just had to stay persistent.
All right. Thank you, Brother Hassan. That's Brother Hassan coming to you live from Washington, D.C. at the anti-war rally. You got it here first, right? It's political, right? It's peace. It's political. It's economics, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. Thank you, Brother Hassan, for joining us today. Continue to do the fight. Continue to do the work. And we look forward to seeing you sometime soon with our next episode with you as well. So thank you. Continue to do the work again. And we appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Man, love all of y'all so much. Peace and solidarity to the human family, man. All our brothers and sisters out there struggling. Love y'all.
All right. Love you too, brother. That's Brother Hassan, African-American Empowerment Saturday, coming to you live from Washington, D.C. at the anti-war rally. Brother George, that was powerful. Brother Hassan brought it again. Man, that brother is powerful. Sure. He's out on the street doing the work. All right. Let's go on over now to our next correspondent. We got Brother Reg coming to us from North Carolina. He's going to be telling us about what's going on down that way as soon as we can get him in. Again, we're live in several places today around the country, and we're here live at the Richmond City Convention Center. We got a teen summit going on. We got all cultures here teaching young people all kind of skills. It's really a positive thing that's going on right now from different districts. But we have youth from all of the different districts together coming to have their voices to be heard right here in Richmond, Virginia. And now, without further delay, y'all know how I got to bring Brother Reg in. If you know this show, you know how we're going to do it. Oh, yeah. Brother Reg, get ready. Get set. Come on. Give it. Give it.
Bring it. What?
Brother Reg, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Peace and love, my brothers. How are you all?
Doing good, brother. How are you?
Brother George, how are you doing over there, my brother?
I'm doing fine, brother. Thank you for joining us today.
All right. I'm doing fine over here. Glad to be with you all.
All right, Brother George. Brother Reg, we got a lot of stuff that we need to talk to you about because you got a lot of good stuff going on. So we want to start with telling our audience about what you're doing down in North Carolina and how that can be a model for what we can do around the country.
Okay, my brother. Well, first of all, let me say congratulations and goodwill toward our brother Hassan and the work that he's doing over there. Thankful for good brothers like him across this nation. Blessings to him. Like to say that first and foremost, because that's what it takes, brothers across the nation, such as yourself. Never seen you face to face, but look at the work you're doing and bringing us together, and look at what that work means first. You know what I mean? So
yes, sir.
That's where it starts at. You know, that's where it starts at. That's strength within that connection. And what the brother was going off saying about the men working, I just picked up the dues from a young brother today to join the IBPOE of W, Elks of the World. And the men definitely have to step up in our communities because that's the strength of the community. Our women, ladies, and children, and the community itself need the black male to step up and work at this time across the gambit. And we definitely have to get that moving. So I want to applaud the brother in his start there because that is important. So all the brothers that's out there hearing that, hear that brother on that. You know, that's really important there. And so I want to echo that out again. And get to the essence of the question there. You guys were saying some words there along the way that I listened, even from the introduction of when you came in, Brother Marvin and Brother George earlier. Both of you guys, as well as Brother Hassan, used the word agenda quite often. You know, whether you were talking politically, economically, educationally, or what have you, the word agenda is very important because regardless of what you're working on, you need to have a definite agenda in what you're doing. And so often we have organizations out there that, you know, we're plowing the field, but sometimes you're tilling it, but you don't really have any seed to put down in it. So that agenda is that definite seed that you got to put down in that soil. So you really got to have that focus there. And so, like, when I first was starting, I came back home. I was living out in California for 20-some-odd years, and I was working in Parks and Recreation as a special events coordinator. One of the things that I did when I got on that Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, I saw the work that had to be done out there through some of the events that I was putting on. I saw that that political effort that was dominating and overseeing a lot of things. So when I looked around and made a lot of connections there, I really saw that political arm was manipulating a lot of things that was going on. See, and then I said, okay, that's a motivation there that has a lot of tentacles that reached out in all areas of what that was going on in the communities on all levels, from the grassroots all the way up to the top, from the city, the county, and the state. I saw where it was affecting a lot of things, my brothers. You know, whether it was the African-American community, the Hispanic community out there, or the white communities. And, you know, it was all tied up together there. And I saw it coming in and out of the community that I lived in the San Diego area. So getting involved, putting on those events, I saw how to where that I needed to be involved in all of that, and it transcended all areas of it. And so I said, in my community, we got to touch it because it touches us. And as I saw it and working in a lot of it, you see, brother, as I saw it and working in of it, sometimes it wasn't even – And I have to be, Brother Marvin, you know, in the conversation that I had, you and I had, we're very plain and well and plain spoken out of all of it. And I have to be the same way when I talk on the air or off the air, brother, because it's real out here now. And so I saw whether it was Democrat, Republican, white or black, rich or poor, that we had to look at it and be very pragmatic about it and down to earth about it and utilize to what was going to be the advantage of us. And so I had to look at it all. And like I said, when I got on that advisory board and that council out there in that community, I looked at it and I saw it. And I worked at it for those 20-some-odd years. So I'm going to make a long story short. When I came back home, and after working with those people of all cultures and of all levels, I came back home and I decided, I said, I remember what Malcolm, Brother Malcolm said. He said, clean up the inside of a man, and you can take care of the outside of the man. So one day I was sitting at breakfast with the mayor here, and he was coming at an impasse about the neighborhood recreation center that had flooded here. And he couldn't deal with the people of the community was at odds with them about it. And so he said, well, see what you can go over there and do, because I'm washing my hands. And so I asked him, I said, how can you wash your hands of a community? Now, this is what this man is saying to me.
All right.
How can you wash your hands of a community? And he said, well, you go over there and see what you can do. So, brothers, I'm saying this to you. I said, well, I thought of what Brother Malcolm said. So the first thing you got to do is clean up the inside of the man. So, brothers, as that brother was saying there, health-wise, I looked at mental, physical, and spiritual health, because I think Brother George was saying that. It was talking about that. And so I looked at those three areas I had to go to work on over there. So he asked me to go sit on this redevelopment commission, which the city had put together. And I said no, because I didn't want my hands strapped that way, because I had seen all the ways that it had worked. So what I did was to go sit on the Health and Wellness Committee, you guys, because you have to have a definite agenda. And so I picked those ways. And so this is what I did, you guys, because you have to utilize all those ways, like you said, politically, educationally, and economically. And so I used that as my platform. And so I worked with the community, like that Brother Hassan was saying, and I use it in all those manners, that working with the city. I told the mayor that I had a definite agenda. And so I worked with the community. I rejuvenated a neighborhood people's organization, which was called the Residents Council. I went over to work with them on those same organizations with those perspectives. And I told the mayor with that redevelopment commission over there and the residence council, I made them one and the same working together. And I told the mayor that would he back me in my efforts? So I tied the community with the city council, keeping the political agenda and the community's agenda one in the same, but tied together. So you got to have it there, and like the brother Hassan was saying, but you also have to have your state involved, because you have to have economics from the top down. You can't just do it on the local level because you don't have enough money there, and you will be strapped. Because when you're trying, the first thing that I did was to tell your community you have to have more than what you had there before, brothers, because if you look around our nation now, our communities look bad. And I hate to say it, but you got to admit it yourself. We still got right. too much crime, and the community's infrastructure are bad. The housings are bad, and a lot of them. So most of your program need at least state and federal monies at that level to come down. So True. By tying up with the state level, bruh, it gives you federal monies to come down to the state to come to your grassroots level. So the first thing I did, and this is what we got to do, we got to ask for bigger and better projects. So the first thing I did was to ask for a health clinic. That's what I did. I don't want any more $5,000 and $10,000 projects. You got to have hundreds of thousands and millions of dollar projects. Don't ask for any more small projects. Don't even ask for them. Don't even accept them. So the first thing I asked for was a better health project. Like Malcolm said, clean us up inside, mentally, physically, and spiritually. So that's what I did. I asked for a health clinic. So I got the board working with that mayor, said, I need you all to approve me a health clinic. I got him to back me to do that, to appropriate the money for a building. And I got Shaw University, North Carolina Central, and I bought, like I said, working with these different cultures in Carolina. I worked with the white folks at Duke University to help work with us to bring in a project on that level to say that you guys will work with us and legitimize this project to where we're working mentally, physically, and spiritually to bring us up to the level that we can make a project of this level in our community. We don't want any small projects. Work with that legitimizes. That gives you the educational level. It gives you the economical level. And it gives you the spiritual level. Brother, you know Brother Lafayette Maxwell. He's bringing in that spiritual level. See, we can't separate ourselves spiritually because of denominations and religions. We are a spiritual people anyway. We haven't even got back to our true spiritual level because we lost it when we left our country. So we don't let that separate us. See, I had to bring Brother Bruce down here when I was at the Redevelopment Commission when we were talking about health and wellness, and I wanted to bring Brother Bruce down to talk about culture because they say, what does culture, some of the people on the commission over there say, what does culture have to do with health? So I had to bring Bruce down to explain that. Sir. See what I'm saying, bro? So we got an education to do anyway. So, but like I said, when you bring those historical, like, colleges down in your area, so work with all the people, like Brother Hassan said, in your area. Work with them all. Work with the people at your city council, at your county level, at your state level, at your city. Work with all of them. But have a definite agenda like you and Brother George said. And all you brothers that are listening in your area, start with your city, your county, and your state. That'll take you to your federal. But have a definite agenda. And I use health and wellness. That's prominent across this nation right now. But do it in all of those areas. And that's just the path that my spirituality took me in, brothers, at the time. And brothers like working with Brother Marvin, we have to communicate these ideals. That's why I love what Brother Marvin has done, and I told people to listen to this program today, to listen where I'm going with this, that are working with us. And that's why I've asked Brother Marvin to come down here and do a show with us down here to help tie these in. I got a group of mayors and brothers in North Carolina that are working with us. I just met with a brother in the state legislature two nights ago to ask us about how we do grant funding for us so we can own this clinic, to not even work with the city on it, but to let the community own this. You see, we got to talk to each other about these things how we do it. Huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
brother
Marvin, hold on, we got to talk.
Brother
Reg,
I got to give you this. I got to give it to you. I got to give it to you, Reg. Oh yeah.
No, brother, it's you young brothers, man, that are giving it to me. You know what I mean, brother?
I
got to
give you that, Reg.
Brother George, that's how we got to do this, brother. Brother Hassan, they're rolling on the. He's on the road talking and working at the same time. Brother Marvin is still working. See, brother? You brothers are supporting us for doing this work. So, brothers across this nation, listen to this program and all this information coming in here. This is how we got to strengthen this movement and keep it moving like this. So, I didn't mean to get on the soapbox.
Hey, this is your time, brother. It's your time. Now, I just want to ask one question, and then we're going to go to Slido, and then we'll go to the lines. Made you get started in political action?
Well, like I said, in California, I realized that it was the political movement that had control of the resources. So, like the brother said, Brother Sign said that, that is what controls everything over there. They have control of the resources. So without resources, like he said, without the economics, you can't move anything. The rest talking loud and saying nothing. So you got that. The politics is what controls everything.
That's right. That's right.
Right?
And that's the first one on the agenda. You have to have a political agenda. All right, let's go to Slido, Brother Reg. You got to heat it up, too. All right, let's see what we got here. The first question is, we need a definite agenda, right? And they like having a definite agenda. How would you suggest we start with public housing areas?
In your public housing areas, bring in, I think, cultural awareness. Talk to the people for real. Get smaller groups together to even just talk with them. But talk to the people where they are. Let them feel you and let them believe in you. And that's what I think my positiveness have come from.
Thanks, Brother Reg. All right, here's the next question. Man, this dude is good. All right. The next one is, you are proving to us that working together works together. How would you suggest that we continue to do that to galvanize our people to continue that work from city to city?
I like what Brother Marvin is doing and what, if he don't mind me saying this, he planned to expand his program. So as he expands his program to reach out to others to start listening to it and participating in it, we need to start getting on one accord and getting in cadence with a good and positive and definite message. So I think That is one way we can do it. Start collectively marching together. So programs like this, try and get involved in it and share with one another.
All right. All right. I like that. All right. Next slide is economics from the top down. How can you explain that? You said
economics
from
the
top down. Please explain.
Economics from the top down means getting in touch with people that are over you and what you're working at. As I said about working from the city level, you must go up higher to your state and federal level. So don't be afraid to reach out to people that are higher than you, say your state representatives or your federal representatives. Don't be afraid to call their offices or call your representatives at higher levels. Get to know them. Their office is open. I mean, you know, call them. You know, get a chance to know them. You know, go to some of the meetings or whatever. Just call their office anyway. Just call their office. Reach out. Open that door. Open
All right.
up that line of communication.
Open the lines of communication. It's a call to action here. It's Empowerment Saturday. We're talking with Brother Reg. We're talking about political action and African-American community empowerment right here on Empowerment Saturday. We're going to go to the lines in just a few minutes. 845-277-9250. Slido was hot today, 1269399. Let's go back to Slido before we go to the lines just at 3 o'clock. All right, here we go. Brother Reg, you are on it. Keep up the great work. Institutions that define our own reality. That's what they're saying. All right, the next one is, how do we get back to our true spiritual level? How do we get back to our true spiritual level?
We got to not be afraid to go further than what. This is a hard one. I remember a brother, they were doing a show. And the brother said he was talking about religion, and the brother said that I don't want to step on people's toes. Well, it's time to step on people's toes, because if you see about this critical race relation that they don't want certain things to be taught, well, it's time that it's been taught, because a rich culture that go back thousands of years, and we haven't been taught half of it. So,
right.
But it's time.
True.
It's
true.
Time.
It is time. It is time. All right. Last question. Education and collaboration is a key. Can you speak to that? Education and collaboration is key to our success.
Okay, brother. You're exactly right. We have to be educated from the floor up. I've created something called a circle of hope here, and it's really – and it's about buildings, about that clinic, the recreation, the economic portion, and then there's one building for nothing but education. And we will be educating totally physically, spiritually, and economically. You got to educate yourself. Knowledge is power. Information. Just go to sleep thinking about it, wake up thinking about it. You even got to have education about sleeping, bro. So that you cannot have enough information. That's why, brother, what you're doing here is information. That's why the conversation you and I have had, just like I just said before, we got to spread you out all across the world, brother, because, look, I told you before, your show is more powerful than Roland Martin and The Night Show and MSNBC, because you're down to the ground right where we are, bro. So,
thank you.
That's saying enough.
Thank you, Brother Reg. That's a wonderful compliment. My heart is touched. I appreciate you saying that. All right, let's go to the lines, 845-277-9250. Got Brother Reg live on the line. He's talking about African-American community empowerment. He's talking about collaboration. He's talking about working together. He's talking about commitment to community. He's talking about calling out, reaching out, doing the work, and building institutions that define our own reality. Let's go to 0946, your first on the line, on the list. Do you have a question or comment about today's show, Brother Reg? 0946.
Oh, I'm just listening today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for listening, and welcome to the show.
Uh-huh.
All right. Man, you know, when I think about Brother Reg, all the things that we have the potential to do if we just come together, it's just taking that one step, right? It takes one effort, one person, one mind coming together. The more that we join forces, and again, I want y'all to think about this. You will not hear from me on this show how we need to do anything to other people. It's what we need to do for and with ourselves. Brother Reg is working collaboratively to help reinvest in our community, and that's how we got to do it. Right, I'm saying this clearly, right? I am not against anyone, but I am for us, and we have to stay that way. All right, let's go back to the lines. Let's go to let's move down a little bit here to 9060. 9060. That's 919-9060. You're up. You're next, and if you're available, we'd love to talk to you. 9060. Are you there? Do you have a question or comment? All right, Brother Reg, I think they're just listening today. All right, let's go on over to 0148. You're live. You're on the Empowerment Saturday. Brother Reg, Brother George, Brother Marvin, do you have a question or comment?
Peace, brothers. How y'all feeling today? I'm just listening today, so I've kind of got my hands full, but just listening in and, of course, supporting the program as well.
All right. I'm glad you're on the line today. Appreciate you.
Peace.
Thank you for listening.
Peace.
All right. Thank you, sir. So if you're listening live, right, 845-277-9250, this is a great show, right? I would say this, right, politics, right, or when you talk about politics or political agenda, sometimes it kind of makes our people afraid, right, because I think we aren't educated enough to think about the steps that we need to really take, right? I think you don't have to necessarily have a thorough knowledge of the political system, but you have to have a working knowledge of it, right? And how, like what you said, Brother Ed, how that can impact you from the ground up, right? So how do we build a good, solid foundation? Here's my question for you, Brother Ed. A solid foundation on the ground that works its way up on each level to the resources that we need at the federal and state levels. How do we start from the ground?
Well, here's what I did too, bro. I started a while ago with just starting to get to know these people. Like one of the things I just did, we just had a new board to come in, new mayor, and changed about three or four city council people. What I did was to make a call to each one of them and set up a meeting with each one of them individually and just sit down and talk with them. Got to know them. Whether they was, I felt like some of them might have been Republican or Democrat, white and black, but I got to know each one of them personally. When I got that clinic approved, it's seven people that sit on that board plus the mayor. I got a unanimous vote for that clinic, bro. You know? And like I said, some of these, they were white and black, Republican and Democrat. But you got to establish personal relationship with these people. Brother, for us to get and survive where we are in this country, we're going to have to work with black and white, Republican and Democrat. We're 400 years behind. And the Democrats are not delivering everything that we need and want in this system. It's about relationship. It's not going to be a party effort that makes black America survive here. And start back over with your question. We have to establish personal relationships. We have black people that are failing us in some of these positions. Brother, on that redevelopment commission, and I'm going to say it out loud. I don't care who know it and who hear it. There was a sister sitting there that almost cut my throat in that project, bro.
Mm.
So we got to get real about what we're doing here. We got to do strategic planning in these agendas. And we're going to have to go, we're going to have to sometimes walk away from our own kind during some of these processes and projects. We got a work to do. We got a fight to us on our hands in this political process. When we had our gym to flood, and believe it or not, and I'm not going to say that that man was in love with us that came down to bring the money, but it was a Republican senator, U.S. senator, that came down to bring $7 million to replace this gym. But we've gone to work, me and my team that I've worked with the city people council during this process, that I put a task force together, that we've turned that $7.5 million into $15 million now to replace this gym. Bro, we got to work.
Wow.
See what I'm saying, bro?
Okay,
we got to
so
work.
Let me be clear. Brother Reg, are you saying, because I need for our listeners to hear this, it's not a Democratic agenda. It's not a Republican agenda. It's not an independent agenda. It's the agenda that's going to help our people get what we need, right?
It's a black
what you're saying?
Agenda. Exactly.
Right. Getting to build relationships with those people that can help us help ourselves. Is that what you think?
That's right, bro. That's what I'm saying, bro.
Building relationships.
And I'm real. And building relationships.
Getting to know people.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
you know,
because
exactly some
right,
of our people
bro.
Be like, man, don't mess with them Republicans. I'm not saying it. This is what I'm saying. If you get a relationship with somebody that's willing to work with us where we are and that they're going to help us fulfill our agenda, I'm working with them, right? But we also have to get the tools and the skills that we need to communicate with people across the board, right?
And
our alliances
exactly
are
right.
So important to help us. This brother wouldn't have a health center if he hadn't built those relationships. And people are willing to work with us. But we got to come out of our silos, and we got to come out of their old agendas and the old ways saying, I'm just this. I don't work with them. To say, who's working with us and how they're going to benefit us? Would you agree?
That's what I'm saying, bro. That's what I'm saying, bro. Honestly, I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. Some may not like it, some, but I'm telling you the truth, bro. I got to
now,
be honest.
A lot of our people, right, are in desperate need of resources. They need help. They need wellness, right? And like you said, Brother Malcolm said, "Fix a man from the inside," right? We need those
That's
kind
right.
of resources, right? How do we get from A to B to get the resources, to get the help that we need, right, mentally, physically, emotionally, all these agendas that we're talking about, right? But the first thing we have to educate ourselves on getting the agendas in order to be effective at working the agendas to get the resources that we need to help our people where they are. What do you think, Brother?
That's right. You're exactly right, my bro. You're exactly right. Where is the money at? It's out there in corporate America. It's not totally in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
We got black athletes, black people that are wealthy in Hollywood and everything, bro, but it's, the money is not back in our communities. We got to go
right.
get wherever it is. Now, we do have
right.
some, but it's not enough. So we have to work across the spectrum, bro.
I
and,
like that.
In black America.
Right. Now, I know all our people are not going
to
be on board with that, right? A lot of our people,
right.
and I hear it all the time in the meetings that we have, is that we need to do for ourselves, right? But until we
uh-huh.
can, it's kind of like you've been in a car accident and both your legs broken. And until you can get on your feet and start walking, you need help. And our people need help. Unless we get a wheelchair, and unless we get first aid, unless we get CPR from somebody else to resuscitate us, we need somebody to help us. We need
That's
oxygen, right? We need
yeah.
repair. We need somebody to put a cast on to help us men because many of us need repair because we're in disrepair mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and culturally. I'm going to bring Brother George in. Brother George.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's tie you in. What's your opinion, right? We have this agenda, right? And you know where we are in terms of building our own institutions that define our own reality. Like, from the nationalistic perspective, how do you see that in terms of building bridges across the board with other parties and cultures?
Well, I see it as we need to have a established positive male image, and I'm just
Absolutely.
Talking about from the male perspective right now, with our young men, that they see the black male as a positive image. And I think that you can always work with other groups and cultures, but we're not the example for any other group or cultural group of people. We're not the shining image for them. Their men are. And so the same thing needs to happen in the black community. So the issue is not whether or not we're willing to work with other people. We work with other people around the world. And that's why we've contributed so much to human civilization. So because that wants to be hidden from other people, the accomplishments and the contributions that we've made, that's just a joke, you know, and that's not going to happen. You know, we have to educate our youth so that they'll have something that they feel valued about, you know, and that is what will prevent them from feeling like it's so easy to just take each other's lives, because the lives will begin to mean something. You know, and our women will begin to feel like they have a real man, you know. And at that point, I think that it's a lot of things that that link in together. But Brother Reggie said something that was very interesting, you know, about spiritual. And I've heard this mentioned about our people before, that we have a spiritual problem, and we do. And we need to fix that. And it's just not fixed through religion. It's fixed through working together and creating a more positive self-image of each other. And within that, you know, the spiritual attachment will begin to repair what's going on with us within itself. But I do agree with Brother Reggie that we're going to have to work through this thing with different cultures and different groups of people and all of that. And I've never been against anything like that. I just want the overall control of what goes on in our community with us, with the black man and the black woman in our community.
I like that.
The overall control. But as far as like participation and working together and all that, I mean, you're a human family, so, you know, can't be ridiculous. So that's my response.
Yeah, thank you, Brother George. Appreciate it. I know those sisters are
saying, like,
well, what about us?
Bro, can I say something right quick, real bro?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead,
Brother George said. I agree with you there, Brother George, on 100%. In fact, one of the things I want to say about this clinic that we're getting, the city appropriated that money for that clinic, but I just met with one of the black brothers that's on the legislature. We are pursuing how we can do this under our 501c3 is to get that clinic under our 501 in the community. So you do want to work with all these other people, but you want to set the narrative as that agenda says. You're having the agenda, but you're also having the wherewithal to think for yourself. You want to set that independent picture out there that you're working toward. You want to set you want your community to see that you're working to become independent. And you're doing it. You're thinking for yourself for the long term. So I wanted to say that right quick too. So I agree with what Brother George said there.
Thank you, Brother Rich. You're absolutely right. And that work has to continue to flow, right? It's not just getting it, but how do you sustain it, right? And so the next thing is, although we get these institutions, it's sustainability, right? So here in Richmond, one of the brothers who public housing community won the lottery and built the gym, right? But if it's not sustainable, right, it's just a gym, right? So the gym is now kind of, you know, in between or in flux because there is no system for accountability in terms of who's going to resource the building and maintain the building at an adequate level so we can have a solid institution for a long period of time. That makes sense? So we to have sustainable enterprises, right? And resources continuing to come in, right? So we got to do the work, right? So we need some good grant writers, right? And then we need some good resource people that know how to work on resource management and allocation as well. All right. Brother Reg, I want you to speak really briefly into our potential collaboration coming up and some of the work that we're going to do together between Richmond and Newburgh.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, this young man has such a good foundation for a good outlook on communication for openness of a programming. Like I told him, I mentioned a little while ago, is that his program is so independent in what's needed at the grassroots level. I suggested to him that we try to expand the program nationally, on a national level, not just regional. Having worked in the broadcast communications before, having my own radio program and television program as well, I saw sales and merchandising a product is what you do with it. So I suggested to he and Brother George that we get together and expand this program. So we're going to do a program down here in this area and talk to the people in North Carolina about how we can expand this Black Talk program here of his. And so I like the fact that we're going to come here and we're going to do this. And as a group of mayors here in North Carolina, I'm going to invite to open up their cities and town to become his listening audience. And it's such a grassroots effort, like what we're doing here today, talking about developing the Black city or the Black community. And I'm looking forward to working with Brother George and Brother Marvin and all you guys in his listening audience. So, Brother Marv, I appreciate the time that you afforded me today and to be with your listening audience. So I like to say the Elks out here in you guys' community that are working hard and developing the Black men there and the other organizations, the Black historical colleges, and all of you guys, Brother Marv, I thank you again. But the projects that we plan to do will be developing our communities mentally, physically, spiritually, educationally, economically. Brother Marv, keep up the good work expanding what you're doing, the communication, the information that we provide to all these communities are so invaluable. So hopefully what you're doing, I see it evolving into maybe even the visual part of it, television. The sky's the limit, guys. Let's think about that. You know, what this brother here is doing is fabulous and fantastic for the 21st century. We don't need to fear anything. Let's just grow. That's what I'm saying. Let's just grow. All right?
All right. You've been listening live to Brother Reg. I'm a 91-year-old
father. I'm sitting with a 91-year-old father. So I thank you guys for your time, and I just appreciate being with you. So thanks again. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Brother Reg. Again, you've been listening live to African-American Community Empowerment. We're coming right from the community as Brother Reg in New Bern, North Carolina. We have Brother Hassan coming live to you from Washington, D.C. Again, share the show. And again, listen, it is because of people like you, because of our listeners spreading the word that we find out about the African American Empowerment Show. We couldn't do it without you. Stan and I started just talking to each other 10, 12 years ago, just every Saturday talking to each other. And it's grown to where this brother is saying we could take this show nationally and want to help us do it. Brother George came along after Brother Stan passed, and now Brother Reg, Dr. Bruce, Dr. Rogers. And, oh, by the way, next week. Thank you, Brother Reg. We appreciate you. We're going to have to bring you back for more discussion as well. All right, Brother George, we're going to wrap up. We got about 4 minutes left. Listen, brothers and sisters, next week, we got a special series that we're going to start on the fourth Saturday of each month. Oh, and blessings to your 91-year-old father, Brother Reg. Thank you. Continue to do the work. We have coming up next week on the fourth Saturday of every month, spiritual development, right? African liberation theology with Dr. Lafayette Maxwell. It is hot, it's going to be heavy, and it's going to be a reality check for some of us. And at the same time, this brother is going to take us back, brother minister, is going to take us back to Africa in terms of religion and then bring us all the way forward to now. So we're going to have a historical orientation on our religious preference and perspective as we've learned it here, but also what we brought to this country. There are some topics that you guys and gals are going to want to hear. So we had an in-depth conversation with Dr. Maxwell about what he's going to bring. It's going to be powerful. I want you to share the show on next Saturday, right? Make sure we got a good crowd involved, that you're on Slido, that you have some questions for Dr. Maxwell. But he's going to be bringing it, and he's going to be telling us, right? He's going to give us a perspective. And Brother George, you were there, so you heard it yourself, on what he's going to bring to our perspective on our religiosity, if I can say that word correctly. So, Brother George, can you take that in a little bit before we wrap up about what we're going to do with Dr. Maxwell next Saturday?
Well, you know, Dr. Maxwell, he talked with both of us, and he made it clear that he had a thorough knowledge of first black religion here in this country. And the different processes that it's been through since we've been here as a group of people, and what we actually brought here with us that has continued with us since we left the continent. And we're not left, but we're taken from the continent. And he's going to talk about that and really... Brother, I can't wait, you know. I can't wait to hear him, you know, educate us on African spirituality, because we have a spiritual problem, and we need to come to grips with how we can begin to function, you know, as a unit again, spiritually, and feel each other's, you know, spirituality and bring that back. Because I think that's an important dynamic of the African experience on this planet. You know, I think it's a very important dynamic. And so, Brother Marvin, I can't wait until next week when we have the good doctor here.
All right. Thank you, Brother George.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brother Hassan. Thank you, Brother Reg. And thank you all for listening. It's African American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of this, right? Listen to the show, right? Go back in the archives, listen to the show, dissect it, take it apart. Brother Reg gave us some really good pointers. Brother Hassan gave us some really good information. How do we coalesce? How do we come together? How do we motivate each other, right? How do we continue to inspire each other to become the very best that we can be, right? Not trying to be like anybody else. How can we become the very best individuals that we can be, that can do the best work using our best and brightest to take us to the next level, right? How do we restore ourselves? How do we work collaboratively in areas where we need it the most to be effective at our growth? It's up to us. The work needs to be done by you and me, but it's only going to be done if we collectively work together build our families, continue to nurture our children, and do the work of simply working on ourselves. That's it for today, brothers and sisters. It's been a great show. Share it with somebody, right? Don't be shy. Don't be afraid, right? It's okay to be African-American. It's okay to be black. It's okay to be you. It's okay to be me. And it's okay to be us, and it's okay to be we. Until next week, empowerment goes on. Dr. Maxwell, peace and blessings. Have a great day.
And the world will be better for this. That one man scorned and covered with scars, still strong with his last ounce of courage to reach. Oh,
oh yeah.